our hymn, Joy to the World, which we'll be singing later. During this Advent season, I've been approaching my sermons from a slightly different angle than what I'm accustomed to. Normally, I start with a particular Bible passage. I preach on its historical meaning while applying it to us who hear it today. But with these sermons during Advent, I've taken some of the familiar Christmas hymns that we're all familiar with, preached on the biblical messages and meanings found in these hymns. Now, obviously, I can't do this with just any Christmas song. I mean, there's no biblical message found in songs like Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph, or Jingle Bells. But there are several hymns that we have that refer back to a biblical account of Christ's first advent. That is, when he came to earth, when he was born to Mary and Joseph in the town of Bethlehem. Now, hopefully, these messages have allowed us to focus on the things that remind us of Christ at Christmas. And today's message, as I said, has come from what has become one of the most popular Christmas hymns of all time, Joy to the World. Now, interestingly, Isaac Watts did not write this as a Christmas or Advent hymn. Instead, this song was included in his collection of psalms that he rephrased while viewing them through the lens of their New Testament fulfillment. In other words, through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Now, Joy to the World is adapted from Psalm 98, which you can see by looking up in your hymnal. Now, how did this psalm, however, become such a popular Christmas hymn? Well, as we will soon see, our main focus in Advent is found in this psalm. We remember Christ's first coming as Savior, and we live in anticipation of his second coming, when Jesus will come to restore all things, when he will judge the wicked and bring his people into his eternal kingdom. Psalm 98, therefore, displays Christ's work for us, his past work as Savior, his present work as King, and his future work as Judge of the world. Well, let me now read this psalm which inspired Isaac Watts's familiar hymn, Joy to the World. Psalm 98. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Father, teach us through your message that we may look to you as our Savior, the one who came for us, the one who still reigns for us, and the one who is coming again. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Now, the first three verses of Psalm 98 remind us of what God has already done for us. It says, the Lord has made known his salvation. Now, this psalm was written as a song for the Jewish people, for the house of Israel, as God had constantly proven faithful to these people over the years. He kept his promises to them. He remained with them, even during their years of pain and captivity. Now, as they learned after coming out of Egypt, our God is a saving God. He is a God who rescues his people. God displayed his power in Egypt, and he also displayed his power over those in Canaan. Now, just as he promised generations before Abraham's descendants would be numerous, and they would possess their own land. Israel had a good and powerful God that loved them, and they had reason to rejoice, for he has done marvelous things. But they were still, at that time, living in a strange period of already, but not yet. Israel was waiting for its true Redeemer, the Messiah, who would bring them lasting salvation. Now let's bring this forward to us, to the current generation of believers. As Christians, we are God's people. By faith, we are children of Abraham. So we, like those children of Israel, can look back to what God has already done for us. As he displayed his power over the enemy, he saved his people once again. 1 John 4:14 tells us, "The Father sent his Son to be Savior of the world." So Jesus came into this world as the Messiah who would bring salvation for God's people. But the enemy that Jesus came to defeat was no human enemy. The enemy was sin. And God did not do this work in secret. In verse 2 of our psalm, it says, "He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations." Jesus made himself known to the people so that they could look to him and trust in him as Savior. Jesus came to the world as the Word made flesh. There were many witnesses to his coming. But as I said this past Sunday, there were some who doubted him. Some people rejected him, and others who only followed for a short time. But as it says in John 1, "To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. They are born not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God." So God's salvation was a work of grace for us who believe. So how do we react to this work of God's redeeming grace as he sent his Savior to deliver us from sin and death? Our hymn says, "Joy to the world, for the Lord is come." When we recognize Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that he came to die for us, to set us free from the bondage of sin, then we know we have reason to rejoice. The Savior came for us. He left his throne to live among us as one who was despised and rejected by men. But as our hymn says, the Savior reigns. And this is what we are reminded of every time we gather together. That Jesus came as our Savior. He was the one who brought salvation for God's people through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And this is why we celebrate Christmas. We remember Jesus came to this world. He came to deliver his people, to display his salvation for us. And the whole world would soon hear about this. Throughout the centuries, people have written thousands of songs in praise of our Savior. Let men their songs employ. Is there anything more glorious for men to write of, to sing about, to fill our minds with than the good news of our Savior? Yes. We remember that Jesus came into this world and that God has made known to us this Savior. We have heard and we have believed that he is the one who brings salvation. So Jesus came as our Savior. And we also see here that he now currently reigns as our King. The next three verses of Psalm 98 speak to us about our Lord, the King. Now, when a king or some other ruler has conquered his enemy and returns to his kingdom victorious, his people welcome him with songs and shouts of joy. He has proven to be a king who will protect his people from outside threats. Now, David was this type of king over Israel. Throughout David's reign, Israel grew stronger. They flourished in relative safety over the nations around them, as David proved to be their strong and wise leader. Now, even greater still was the recognition that God himself was king over Israel. He led his people in perfect wisdom and perfect power. King David loved the Lord. He recognized that God was the greater king. Yes, David was a good and strong, wise king for Israel, but he looked to the one who had ultimate authority, to God. And David also wrote many psalms. He praised God, gave him the glory. And generations of Jews came into the temple singing these psalms. They were praising God for all he had done for them. So again, Israel served the God of the universe, and they shouted their praises to him, to the one who had done great things. They made a joyful noise before the king, the Lord. Now, if we are God's people, then we will also submit to God as our king. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me." So not only was Jesus their teacher, he was their master, he was their Lord. As his disciples, we follow our king. We listen to him. We obey him willingly because we love him. Jesus is not an overbearing king. He's not a wicked tyrant, but he leads his people in love. Now, because we remember that he came to be our Savior, we will gladly serve him as our king. And therefore, we have reason to continue praising the Lord Jesus. We sing songs to our God with joy in our hearts. Repeat the sounding joy. Jesus is truly the one who brought joy to the world. Now again, if we know Jesus, and if we trust him as our Savior, then we will gladly receive our King. Our hearts will prepare him room. Now, have we made room for Jesus in our lives? Now, I'm not just talking about a tiny corner of your life, just a slot in your busy schedule. You think about Jesus' birth. There was no room for Jesus at Bethlehem, at least not in a regular place of residence. But he was born in a stable or a cave where the animals were kept. And realistically, that was all in God's plan. Jesus came as a servant, not as one who demanded that others serve him. But if we truly love Jesus, if we recognize him as the one who came and rescued us from sin and death, then we will wholeheartedly serve him and submit to our King. He is Lord. He is worthy. He is worthy that we should present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. This is our spiritual worship. As I said in my previous sermon, the Christian faith is a joy-filled faith. The Christian will praise God with joy in his heart. He will gladly live his life under God's authority, knowing that Jesus loves us and that he leads us in paths of righteousness. He is the perfect King. Now, in the final section of Psalm 98, we are reminded of Christ's work in the future when he will judge the world in righteousness. Now, this is a major aspect of our Advent celebrations, and it often gets lost amongst all the references to the shepherds, to the angels, to the magi, and the baby boy in the manger. Yes, we need to remember why Christ came for us 2,000 years ago, but let us not forget that he will come again. Now, the purpose of his second coming, however, is quite different from why he came the first time. Verse 9 tells us that the Lord comes to judge the earth. When Jesus comes again, he will not come in humility, but he will come bringing wrath on God's enemies. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, "There will be a day when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." It will be a fearful thing to be found guilty before the Lord on that day. And yet this will be a great day of joy for God's people when Jesus comes again. Jesus said, "The faithful and wise servant will be blessed when his master returns." And the writer of Hebrews encourages us, saying, "Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." Are we eager for Christ to return? If we have reason to rejoice now, just think how much we will rejoice when we see Christ face to face. And not only will God's people rejoice, but all creation will rejoice when the Lord returns. The psalm says the sea will roar loudly as well as those who dwell on the earth. The rivers will clap their hands. The hills will sing for joy before the Lord. Paul tells us in Romans 8, when Jesus returns, he will bring all creation back to its original state of perfection, back to completion. He will end the corruption of God's curse over the world. And creation will then break forth in joyous song, having been set free from its bondage and its suffering. And we also see this in our hymn. God will put an end to the curse of Genesis 3. Sin and sorrow will no longer reign on the earth. Thorns will no longer infest the ground. God's blessing will be upon the earth when he makes all things new. Now, it's true that Jesus defeated sin and death on that cross as he conquered these spiritual enemies for us. And yet these things still corrupt the earth in a physical sense. But when Christ comes, he will completely destroy his enemies, including sin and death, these things that continue to plague God's creation. In the final chapters of Revelation, we see that God will bring forth the new heavens and the new earth. The curse will finally be lifted for us. On that day, God's kingdom will come in its fullness. In a way, God reigns for us right now as king over the world. He has ultimate authority over us. But one day he will rule over us without the corruption of sin. And we ought to look forward to that time when we will live in a place of uninterrupted worship, when we will sing and praise our God for all eternity. The final verse of our hymn says, "He rules the world in truth and grace." So we see here that Jesus came as our Savior. He currently reigns as our King, and he will one day return as the righteous judge who will restore all things and free us from the bondage of sin and death. Now, Psalm 98 was written to Israel to remind them of what God had done for them. That he is the faithful, promise-keeping God of the covenant. God showed them his steadfast love and faithfulness for generations. And he would remain faithful. In Genesis 3, God said that he would send the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent, and thus putting an end to the curse. And friends, this has already been accomplished. This happened for us at the cross, just as God had promised. Jesus completed his work as Savior to the world. You remember what he said at the cross? He said, "It is finished." Do we trust in Jesus as our Savior? There's nothing else that can give us the hope of eternal life. There's no other way to the Father, no other way to heaven, but through Jesus. We must trust in him. And that means to completely put our faith in him. And we also serve our King today. We are his loyal subjects. The Savior reigns, and he will continue to rule in our lives, in our hearts, in truth and grace. So are we serving our King? If so, you know that we have reason to sing and to rejoice. Only Jesus brings true joy to the world. Now, this is not to downplay the fact that sin and death continue to bring pain and sickness and trials to us. These things remind us that life on earth is painful, even for Christians. But we will experience joy here on the earth, knowing God, serving Him, trusting in Him as we look forward to eternal life in heaven. Now, as we consider these spiritual realities, and as we set our minds on the things eternal, Psalm 98 in this hymn, Joy to the World, remind us that Jesus will come again. Now, we don't know when this is going to happen. It could be tomorrow. And that would be an amazing Christmas present, wouldn't it? But when He does return, He will restore all things perfectly. He will make all things new. At that time, believers from every people, every nation, every period of history will praise God together in a worship that will never end. Even the created things, fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, these things will shout for joy as well. And Jesus hinted at this when He rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He said to His opponents that if the people were silent, the very stones would cry out. Creation will shout aloud when Jesus comes again. And as His people, as His children, we should look forward to that day with gladness in our hearts. We have reason to rejoice tonight, knowing that God has made a way for salvation for us. As we look to Jesus as our Savior, we trust Him in faith. Will you praise God tonight for sending our Savior into the world, the one who reigns as our righteous King? Let us give glory to Him. He is worthy. Joy to the world. The Lord is come, and He will come again. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, we are grateful once again as we remember that You sent the Savior to the world. This was many, many years ago. The story keeps going and keeps going, and every generation is reminded that Jesus came here in human flesh. God made flesh. That You came to save Your people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. He is Savior. And that's who we trust tonight. God, we pray that You would stir in our hearts, that we would have reason to rejoice. And if we don't, if there's anyone here that does not know You, Lord, I pray that You would draw them near to You. Convince them that You are the Savior of the world, and we trust in You for eternal life. Help us to remember these things. God, we have reason to rejoice. Let us go from here tonight praising You each and every day as Your people. Amen.